You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8pm here on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Hannah O'Sullivan. Hannah is from Port Magee and was born with cerebral palsy. Hannah does a lot of fundraising and is an advocate for people with disabilities. Hannah is currently doing the radio broadcasting and digital journalism course that I done myself a couple of years ago in Radio Kerry, along with Kerry College. She's doing that at the moment with hopes that she'll go in one day to work in the industry doing maybe something in radio or journalism or something along those lines. So that's brilliant to see, and for other people maybe with disabilities to look at and know that maybe just because they have a disability doesn't mean that they can't go on and work in journalism or broadcasting or any other job. Hannah doesn't let her disability hold her back, or she doesn't let her disability define her, which is a very important thing. So sit back and enjoy the show. Hannah, thanks a million for joining me today inside in the studio. I'm delighted to get the chance to talk to you. I know we speak nearly every day. You're doing the course downstairs, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But how are you keeping yourself?
I'm doing good, thanks. And I'm delighted to be joining you as well today.
You're, you're living down, kind of down Port Magee direction. You're from. Do you want to talk to me, I suppose, a little bit about growing up when you were younger?
So I'm from Port Magee, so it's in South Kerry, and I suppose I was born with cerebral palsy. It's a condition it's a movement condition. So the cerebral means the part of the brain, and the palsy means the movement part. So oftentimes, like, it's caused, you know, by brain damage, you know.
Yeah.
that can be due to prematurity, or it can be due to lack of oxygen, or even like complications that a mom might have had during pregnancy. But in my case, I was born 13 weeks premature.
Really?
Yeah. So I was actually born quite fast, because my mom just started having pains one afternoon, and they got to the hospital at 7, and I was born at 20 past. So
go away, really?
Yeah. So
there can be a couple of different factors for us.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. As I said, it can be due to prematurity. So like a baby being born before the full term, or sometimes there can be problems with lack of oxygen to the brain, and therefore that causes brain damage, a bleed to the brain, and that causes cerebral palsy. So
very good. I didn't know that there could be a couple of different reasons for it now. So
yeah,
that's something new I learned today, Hannah.
Yeah.
I suppose growing up, what kind of interest did you have? I know you've is it two or three sisters?
I have three sisters, yeah.
Do you all get on?
Yeah, we do. And I suppose, like, we always have got on. I suppose you do get closer, you know, you're always close, but you do get closer as you get older as well.
And do you think the fact that maybe that you were born with the cerebral palsy, that kind of brought you even closer again?
So my family have always, you know, treated me the same. They've always done the best for me. Obviously, like, we're living down in South Kerry, so, you know, I would have travelled to, like, Enable Ireland for, like,
yeah,
different therapies, physiotherapy, hydrotherapy in the pool. And it is an hour and a half drive, but like that, my parents were determined to give me every possible chance that they could to enable me to have a fulfilling life. Enable Ireland were very good, you know, with the therapies. You know, they kept regular contact with my mom. You know, my mom always had someone to speak to if she needed advice and stuff. And I suppose that's what adequate support does. You know, it enables fulfilling lives, really.
And you said that you didn't want to be treated any different, and I'm the same. And I think anybody with some maybe a disability, they want to be treated the exact same, don't they?
Yeah, and you know, that's why it's great that, you know, there are services like Enable Ireland there, you know, because especially like if you're a first time parent, you know, it can be daunting. Like I know when I was born, you know, my mom would have got some information from the doctors and stuff, and she would have got more information from Enable Ireland then, and also she would have read books and stuff. So, you know, it's a journey that you go on, and it's a daunting journey, but like that, you know, you don't plan to go on it, so you just have to follow the path and see where it takes you. And
it's very handy to have them services there available, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
When I was when I had my accident, I used to go into the therapy pool as well. Did you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, so I would have done it once a week, and you know, it was great for my muscles and that, because with cerebral palsy, specifically the type that I have, it can affect your muscle tone. So like with mine, it affects my arms and my legs. So, you know, like my hands can clench and stuff like that. So the hydrotherapy, you know, relaxes all of that.
It's good for the muscles,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, and it's good, you know, specifically for someone with cerebral palsy, you know, high tone and low tone can be, you know, a big factor. So, you know, it's important to, I suppose, have an intervention that can release the spasticity.
Yeah, very good. Did you enjoy the school side of things?
Yeah, I did. I was lucky enough to have an SNA. So when I was in primary school, I had an SNA, her name was Angela, and like she really, you know, I was the only one in the school in a wheelchair, but like she treated me, you know, like her daughter, and all my friends were very good as well.
And that makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, and even like, you know, even for my mom, like as a parent, to be able to see me being treated no different to anybody else within the school environment, you know, it's as important for the parent to see as it is for the person themselves to see.
It is 100%. And I wanted to ask you, Hannah, I suppose being a wheelchair user as well, when you were growing up, what do you think that the biggest barriers are? Because I know from my time in a wheelchair, the accessibility and maybe going down a footpath and somebody's parked up in it, all them little things that you don't realise.
Yeah, well, I suppose, to be honest, like, I suppose I wouldn't have taken, you know, as much notice when I was younger, you know, it kind of went all over my head when I was younger. And then when I was maybe about 11, you know, I would have started watching, like, videos of other people with cerebral palsy on YouTube, and that's kind of when I began to explore my own condition and that and learn about it. And you know, I'm still learning about it to this day. And you know, I know sometimes people say, you know, don't let your condition define you, which I would never do, but at the same time, like, it's a very important part of my identity, and I'm sure you feel that sometimes too.
It is 100%, and like you said, you watched videos. That's good for raising awareness as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and like, it has given me opportunities, you know, that I wouldn't have got if I didn't have cerebral palsy. Like, I've been on rights committees with Enable Ireland, and you know I've just, you know, got opportunities for advocacy, and I use my voice, you know, to help others. And if I didn't have cerebral palsy, that opportunity wouldn't be, you know, as prominent.
100%. And you've done a lot of fundraising, taking part and things like that successfully with the Crown Centre. I was reading up. What do you want to let people know what the Crown Centre is?
Yeah, so the Crown Centre is an organisation based in Ovens in County Cork, so it's in Ballincollig. It helps people with a variety of physical conditioned spina bifida, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, other congenital conditions, and then like progressive illnesses as well, like MS, and like they you know, over the years they've expanded their services to cater for people with like stroke and spinal cord injury. So it's really good that they've expanded out their services. But I suppose what the big thing that's different about the Crown Centre, and the thing that, you know, makes it stand out, is that it supports the family members as well, you know, through counselling or, you know, through a client liaison service, where like you can work on your individual goals for like parents that might be, you know, filling out forms for the Department of Social Welfare, or, you know, just even getting counselling to manage, you know, the psychological side of parenting a person with a physical disability, you know. So it's a wraparound service, and it's from the Aspen Institute, so it's internationally recognised. And I suppose the founder, Kate, she would have sat in with Kerry's spina bifida and Cork's spina bifida when it was being founded, and that was one of the things that she would have found was missing, you know, helping the family as well.
And I think that's very important, Hannah, the family, because sometimes they just see the person with the disability and they just focus on them, whereas with, I'm sure, like your parents, obviously when you were born it was new to them, and then I suppose they might have had questions, but even as you got older they might want to maybe check in something with them that they mightn't have anybody else to turn to, did they?
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, that like I'm only involved with the Crown Centre since 2020. It opened in 2018, it was founded in 2014, and I suppose that's why like I'm so glad that the Crown Centre is going to be there for, you know, future generations, because it's something that me and my family would have loved to seen when I was younger, and just to know that it's going to be there for like 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds and even toddlers going forward. You know, there's a lot of smallies that go there as well, and it's there across the lifespan. You know, there's no cut-off point at 18, which is very important, because with a lot of services there is.
Absolutely, that's actually a very good point, isn't it? Do you enjoy, I suppose, I know we talked about off-air the social aspect of coming in here to Radio Kerry for your doing the radio course that we'll talk about in a minute, but the social side of it, apart from everything, is very important as well.
Yeah, and I suppose that's a big thing that I get from the Crown Centre. So like I do drama groups, and I suppose that has helped my confidence. You know, we did a show lately where it was called Great That You're Out, Well Done, and it was showcasing the difficulties, like the reality of going on a night out as a wheelchair user. So say having to go to a place next door to go to the bathroom, or, you know, people just, you know, coming up and the way people interact with you, and maybe people thinking, you know, that you need more help than you actually need and stuff, and, you know, just making assumptions like that and stuff. So that really brought us out of our comfort zone, and we did a Q&A with the audience members after to see how they found it. And, you know, like a lot of it was parents, so they would be somewhat familiar, but there were still situations brought up that, you know, would have opened their eyes as well.
Absolutely, and that's actually very, that you said that people maybe assumptions, and that you might be out and people come up helping that maybe you mightn't even need it. And I know myself, I'd be in places and I might need to drive up on a little step or a curb, which I'm perfect doing myself, but people come running up to help, and I know they mean good, and everybody, they have a heart to go, like, but sometimes as the person in the wheelchair, it can be, you might think that everybody is kind of zoning in on you, don't you?
Yeah, and I suppose that is the very important thing to note, specifically with cerebral palsy, is that it is a movement disorder, but everybody is affected like differently. You know, like I have spastic quadriplegia, I'm in a wheelchair, I have problems with my hands. But someone else with spastic quadriplegia like might be able to walk. They just might have more difficulty walking than, say, someone who has cerebral palsy and it only affects their legs. Like even if someone has cerebral palsy and they can walk, like it still might affect their hands. Or, you know, there are people with cerebral palsy that are non-verbal as well, and, you know, there are people, you know, with cerebral palsy that, you know, have drooling problems. So just, you know, it's a broad condition, and two people that have the same type may not be affected in the same way. You know, some people need 5 surgeries, some people might only need 2. You know, it's very diverse.
Everybody's different, like you said. You went, I was reading up, you went to Lourdes, I think, in, was it 2018 you went over there? What was that, like, I was over there, I think, in 2019 with my school, and I thought it was spectacular over there.
Yeah, so I went in 2018. I suppose I was a bit younger then, so even though I enjoyed it, I wasn't able to take it in fully because I was so young. You know, I was 15 at the time. And then, you know, I suppose the last time I was there, it was my first, you know, independent trip away from home, which was, you know, I went there thinking, you know, I'd enjoy it, but I still thought, you know, I'd have lonely moments. And the reality is that when you go over there, you're up from like 7:15 in the morning, and you're go all day, so you don't have time to be thinking about missing home. It's just such a great buzz and such great environment, and the carers are lovely, and the carers, like the volunteers, they become like your family for the week. And like, I'm even looking forward to the next time I get to go to Lourdes, because I will get to go with a different group because I'm older now. And even just little steps like that, you know, it strengthens my confidence. It allows me to, you know, further develop, you know, giving me, you know, it might be only a small thing going with a different group, but, you know, for a person with a disability who might not always get opportunities, you know, to go on holidays, it's a big thing, you know, those little milestones.
It is 100%, and even travelling to other places, Hannah, and I know myself, just because you have a disability, it's important that you don't let that stop you from getting out and travelling around, because sometimes some people, even before I had my accident, I might have had the assumption that just because they're in the wheelchair, they can't walk, but behind it, there's so many other things. It's important to get out there as well and kind of travel around when you're able to, isn't it, Hannah?
Yeah, definitely. And it's important, you know, like, I suppose since I've been in Lourdes, the thing I've found helpful, you know, I'm part of like Facebook groups like Wheelchair Users Ireland and stuff like that. And, you know,
probably made friends as well, have you?
I do have a few friends in wheelchairs, but, you know, also it just, you know, you get advice from other people as well, say other people that might have travelled to a certain place, and they'd be sharing their experience. This was accessible, you might need to be prepared for this or whatever. So, you know, I suppose, and I think you've talked about this before as well, Ian, that it would be lovely in the future to see a system where you can actually drive your powered wheelchair on the plane and sit on the plane so that you don't have to transfer onto another seat, you know.
100%.
You know, because like some people with cerebral palsy, and you know, you're in a molded seat, and like, you know, lots of people in wheelchairs, you know, a specific seat is what they get used to, and it's very important for posture and stuff like that. Especially, like, I know some people with cerebral palsy as well, and, you know, with other related conditions like spina bifida, would suffer from, like, you know, scoliosis.
Yeah.
And, you know, posture management is very important in those situations, and I'm sure you noticed that too in your situation.
100%. Like, if you don't have full control over your balance or anything like that, like, I just think driving onto the plane, it's inevitable. Like, it has to happen. Like, I'm going on holidays in 2 weeks' time, and even just thinking at that, knowing that you've to have that on your mind, people helping, transferring you, and all that, it would just be brilliant to be able to drive on and make the world more suitable for wheelchairs, just like small things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose it's important to acknowledge that, like, a lot of transport systems, like the train and the bus, you know, a lot of them are wheelchair accessible. A plane is one that, at the moment, a plane isn't.
Yeah.
You can't drive your wheelchair on the plane. But I know there's one in, like, America.
Delta Airlines are doing it, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of these things, it comes down to, like, law and policy. And it's a journey, but, like, it does get there. I even noticed that with the bathrooms, with the hoist, you know, there's now a campaign called Changing Places Ireland. So there's a number of places in Ireland that have the bathrooms with the ceiling hoist. And, like, that's very important, just to be able to enjoy a day out with family as well and stuff.
It is. It was my very first time seeing it. The last day, Hannah Buffett, the All-Ireland in Croke Park, when I went in, I seen the ceiling hoist, and I kind of had to stop and look at it, because, you know, it's just not common in Ireland. Like, it's not something that's everywhere, and it's sure it needs to be. And, like you said, I mentioned it before, my friend Jack Kavanagh, he's in a wheelchair after a spinal cord injury. I had him on my show 2 years ago. He's campaigning for that rights to drive onto the plane, and it's Delta Airlines that are kind of fighting towards it to bring it into every airlines. But, like you said there, even the hoist and the bathrooms, that it's something that would be so beneficial for so many people.
Yeah, and I suppose the important thing is, you know, it's only by people sharing their stories that the wider society, the wider public, can see visually, you know, what the difficulties are. Like, I know with the wheelchairs and the planes and stuff, there was a great documentary, I think it was on Channel 4, it was called Sophie Morgan's Fight to Fly.
Yeah.
And that just shows, like, the real life struggles of many wheelchair users, from, you know, parts not working to, you know, just even airports not being aware, even if people have rang up and stuff. You know, it's the small things that you'd forget about, like the, you know, people not remembering the basic information. It doesn't always come down to the big things. Obviously, that's a big part of it, your wheelchair not working. But, like, you just expect, you know, people to know these things. But you see, when you're not living it on a daily basis, you see, people kind of forget.
It is, and that documentary that you mentioned, it's very, very good. Sophie, she's a TV presenter as well, but I follow her on Instagram, and I actually wanted to ask you this. I seen her doing it there a couple of weeks ago, and I know that you wrote up an article, I think, on the Crown Centre back in Inch, the wheelchair for the beach. It has the beach kind of tires. Do you want to talk to me a bit about that?
Yeah, so we're very fortunate to have one in our local area in South Kerry, in Ballinskellig, and I was lucky enough to be the model for that beach wheelchair. And, you know, I use it a lot every summer, and it's just great to be able to go down on the beach. And I know, like, in a beach, you know, up the country in Donegal, I think it is, there's a powered beach wheelchair that someone could go in, and actually, you know, a special powered beach wheelchair, and you can actually drive, you know, you can drive yourself on the beach. So, you know, things are moving forward and it's important to acknowledge that.
They're moving forward slowly. I suppose, did you, your mum, I think, did you nominate her for a Carer of the Year award a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah. So my mum won the Kerry Family Carer of the Year in 2023. And yeah, I suppose I'm very passionate about, you know, I can see on a daily basis not only the work that my mom does, you know, but so many people in her situation. And I just really, you know, wanted to nominate her and, you know, get her recognised, you know, for the work that she does. And, you know, family carers, like, they save the state 20 billion, you know, and that has been proven. And it's just important that carers are recognised, you know, and that they get that recognition, but most importantly, that they, you know, get their, that support. Like, you know, even when it comes to things like carers allowance, like, you know, my mom doesn't get the carers allowance because it's means tested, and that's the situation for a lot of family carers, you know.
It is, and it's something that I've heard a lot of people talk about, and like you said, you don't realise how important they are, like, family members helping until you're in the situation. I don't think people realise that, do they?
No, and like, you know, like the state, the truth is, like, the state would be lost, you know, without family carers. And, you know, family carers, yes, they deserve to get recognition. But as I've heard, you know, some family carers say recognition is fine, but they also need the support. You know, no family carer is going to stop what they're doing because they're doing it for people they love.
Absolutely. I suppose we'll move on, Hannah, to, I suppose, these days now, doing the course. You're doing the course downstairs in Radio Kerry College, that I done it myself there 2 years ago. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. I'll be working in Radio Kerry 3 years this December. How did you always want to go into, I suppose, radio journalism? Because personally speaking, if it wasn't for my accident, I don't know, would I be doing it as much? Maybe my past kind of brought me towards this, and it's something that I absolutely love doing. Was it always something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, so kind of I always had an interest in the journalism area, but I suppose the reason I did this course is because so I could get a mix of everything, and I could, you know, I'm glad I did it now because it has made me realise, you know, what route I want to go down. I want to go down, you know, the podcasting route, so, you know, I can share my story as a full-time wheelchair user, you know, advocate for others, and, you know, just to share the reality and shine a light, and I suppose help others as well. I suppose my idea with my podcast is to interview people with physical disabilities, but also people that support them, such as family members, professionals, you know, people like that, because I feel, you know, that that's an area that needs to be highlighted. I don't think that, well, I think there's awareness about physical disabilities, but I don't think there's enough awareness about the services and supports that are out there. You know, even for people in Cork now, you know, the Crown Centre is, you know, really getting known now. Like, they've over 750 families, but like that, it takes a long time for an organisation to get established. And, you know, like, there's still people to this day that haven't heard of it. And, you know, there's people that have, like, lived, you know, right next door to it, and they wouldn't have heard of it, only from other people and stuff. So, you know,
it's getting there slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Connie and Joe, the tutors below there, they're brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah. And they're really good, and I like, you know, that they're both different. They both bring their own side to it. And I suppose what I would say is that for any person with a disability, this, you know, this course, I think it does provide a very empowering platform to, you know, share your story. And I suppose just to say that if there's anybody out there that's looking for help with podcasting, I'd be very willing to help out, whether it's research or presenting a podcast, doing stuff in the background. If there's any groups or anything like that that is looking for, any media stuff or any research or, stuff.
Anything like that there?
Yeah.
Because there are so many people out there, organisations and groups and stuff and everything that do podcasts, and for like yourself now that has done the course, it would be an opportunity to, I suppose, get out there and help in one way or another, like you said, be it presenting or doing research or producing it or anything like that, because sometimes people don't realise the amount of stuff that has to go on in the background to bring a podcast to life.
Yeah, like, it takes a lot of planning. You plan each episode, but you also, promote it on social media. Like, we've been learning about audiograms. Like, I know that you use audiograms to promote your show as well. And, like, it all plays such an important part. People think that it's just behind the microphone that's involved, and that is a big part of it, but there's also the behind-the-scenes stuff, like promoting it and getting it out every week at a certain time and, I guess just building up a platform.
There is, and you have to start somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know, the others in the class, Hannah, they all seem very nice as well. You have a nice kind of group of people, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we do. And, like, I'm excited to see where their paths will take them as well. And, they're just a great bunch of people, and it's been great to work with them. And, we've had a few laughs along the way, and Connie and Joe have just been brilliant as well.
And just because you have a disability doesn't mean that you can't go into radio. Like, I taught myself when I started, like, the faders and the desk and stuff, that I wouldn't be able to do it. But then Connie and Joe kind of assure you that you can, and there's ways around it, isn't there?
Yeah, because even I learned that as well, because there were some people that work in the radio industry and, their job is, they might have other jobs as well, but, some people actually get a job out of desk hopping.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't think people realise that, or they don't.
No, they don't realise the amount of jobs that you can get into. And I suppose, just to go into the course with an open mind, it might take a while for you to get a job or, get proper employment, but you have to start somewhere, and starting somewhere is just building up that platform and, connecting with people and just getting your story out there as well.
It is. The facilities are brilliant as well in Kerry College, aren't they? And here in the training room in Radio Kerry.
Yeah. And I suppose I'd just like to say that if anyone would like to get involved with the Crown Centre, you can get involved at crowncentre.ie, or if you'd like to know anything about, well, it was the Irish Pilgrimage Trust, but in July it renamed to the Rise and Shine Trust, so it's riseandshine.ie.
They can get in touch there.
Yeah.
I know that we spoke about the Crown Centre. Another article you wrote about was smiling.
Yeah,
that's something that you wrote about. What I suppose smiling is such a powerful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, it's so important to remember the little things, in life. Like, it's not about the big things. And I think, I wrote that during COVID as well. And I think, especially during COVID, like when people were, had to wear the masks and stuff, that was a thing that was missing. And I suppose, it goes back to finding the positive in the, in the hard situations. Like, as bad as COVID was, as difficult as it was, I think there was ways, it could still bring people together. Like, we did Zoom family quizzes and stuff like that. And that's the that's the advantage of technology as well.
It is 100%. Are you doing any, I suppose, little podcasts or any kind of packages or shows down in the training room at the moment?
So what we're doing at the moment is we're just finishing off our end of year documentary. So I'm actually doing mine on the Crown Centre. I interviewed clients and stuff there. I interviewed, you know, staff members as well. And just to say a huge thank you to everybody that got involved. And I just really want, you know, to get the message out there of the services that are available for people with neurophysical disabilities. And obviously the Crown Centre, you know, the family centredness of it as well, because that brings a totally different element, but an essential element as well.
It must have been hard for them and maybe for yourself during COVID, Hannah, not being able to get out and about, you know, maybe stuck at home for when it was kind of very bad, the COVID, the social aspect.
So yeah, even though for me, like, to be honest, I think it was COVID that helped me, you know, get involved with them, because I went up once or twice before COVID, but just the distance and stuff. Yeah, it was, see, when COVID happened, all of their stuff went online. So, yeah, you know, it was very convenient for me. And I suppose my big dream in the future is that there would be a kind of a Crown outreach service in Kerry, you know, and that would be my hope. You know, there are 53 families from Kerry registered with the Crown Centre, and you know, like, it's just very important to get that message out there, because I'm sure there's a lot of other families that could benefit as well. And I do hope that there will be a Kerry service there one day, because it could benefit a lot more families.
It is getting better, and hopefully there will be. What you like to do, I always ask my guests towards the end of the show, what you like to do in your own time. I know you're on one of the articles I read, you like music, you went to see a little mix in the Tree Arena. Do you have any hobbies outside of maybe the work that you're doing now?
So yeah, like, I like music. I like social interaction is my big thing. And I suppose, you know, Lourdes has opened up other opportunities for me, because before I went to Lourdes, you know, thinking about the future, before I went to Lourdes, you know, I wouldn't have thought I'd be so comfortable being away from home. And I came back telling my mother, you know, that I'd have stayed 2 weeks if I got the chance. So, you know, it's just opened my mind and allowed me to spread my wings. And I'm now, you know, I've now put myself forward, you know, for respite breaks, whereas that's something that I wouldn't have given, you know, two thoughts about before going to Lourdes. So, you know, it just opens up your mind. And as the volunteers have told me, what they find rewarding is the transformation in young people from the first day to the last day, you know, can be something amazing to see.
And are you involved in anything with the IWA?
So I suppose I would have been involved with a group called the Kingdom Wheel Blasters.
Yes.
When I was younger, yeah, and they were really good as well. It would be great in the future to see, you know, a club for the older age group as well. You know, I've an interest in boccia as well. It's a ball game. It's a bit like bowls. So yeah, I've an interest in sport as well. Yeah.
The Wheel Blasters, there for the people that don't know what they are, do you want to give them a quick mention?
So it's an IWA affiliated multi-sports club. So so they have a Saturday morning club back recently. They had it before COVID. It stopped there during COVID, and just because of the restrictions and stuff, but it's back now just recently. And there's boccia, there's basketball, you know, and it's just a great way to, I guess, meet people. And, you know, it's enabling people with physical disabilities to be involved in society through sport. And like that, the Crown Centre, you know, I'm involved with the drama, as I said, and like that. It's just enabling people to be involved in the arts, and that's why these organisations are so important, whether it's providing people with therapy or providing social opportunities or giving advice to parents. You know, that's why these services need to be acknowledged, and you know, that's why, that's what I would hope to get across in my podcast, the services that are specifically available for people with physical disabilities.
And even that time you went out on Inch Beach, was it Enable Ireland that kind of helped you? Or
yeah, it was Enable Ireland, because I was part of a rights group at the time, and we kind of just said we'd go there to see what it was like and give feedback to the council, and like that, it was nice to be able to use the beach wheelchair in another beach as well. As far as I know, I think there's one in Ross Bay now as well, so I'd hope to get to use that someday.
Absolutely, the rights group, do you like kind of doing them kind of things as well, using your voice to kind of spread awareness?
Oh yeah, like that's something I love, and that's something I would have got that love from, you know, from Enable Ireland as well. You know, the year after I finished school, I went to Enable Ireland day services, and you know, that's something I would have explored. Obviously, I was only out of school, so I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do, so kind of that I did those committees, and that kind of got my love of advocacy, you know, off the ground. And You know, that's how I've got to where I am. You know, I've been in the National Learning Network as well. I did personal and interpersonal skills. So like I was saying earlier, you know, all the small little things you do, it builds you up to, you know, where you want to be. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting my podcast off the ground. Like I said, it takes a while to build up the platform, but, you know, you have to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere, in the podcast is something that you're obviously kind of working towards now. Because you're coming towards the end of the course, kind of before work experience. Is the podcasting, I suppose, something next online that you'd like to kind of really focus on?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and just, I suppose I'd like to have a specific focus on people with physical disabilities, and also just the people that support them. Obviously, you know, in my area, I'm the only, I wouldn't really have, you know, any big connection with, you know, anyone with a physical disability in my area. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's important to, but at the same time, I have had services that have helped me. So I just want to let other people know about those services that are available, because I think, you know, every disability is as important as each other, and it's just nice to be able to shine a light specifically on physical disabilities when it's what you live with every day.
It is. Do you find that hard at times, Hannah, being the only one kind of down there with the disability?
I suppose I don't find, maybe when I was younger, but not so much now, because I do have friends in wheelchairs. I suppose what it can be difficult with is getting like access to PA support, you know, like transport and stuff like that. You know, that just isn't there. And, you know, oftentimes it's seen that, you know, there isn't enough people with physical disabilities to have that service. But as I was speaking to someone lately, who used to live in Kerry and moved to Cork, and like she was, you know, saying like there shouldn't need to be a certain amount of people, you know, it should just be made available.
Because Port McGee, how far is that from Tralee?
It's about an hour and a half.
It's a long drive, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like trying to get somebody for that, like you said, like it's hard at times, is it?
Yeah. And it's not to say that it's not, you know, hard other places. I suppose they're just, you know, it depends on the amount of clients looking for it. You know, if there's one client looking for it, you know, obviously the person needs to have other clients to be able to, you know, help them, you know, have a proper job and pay their bills and stuff. So, you know, it's dependent on a lot of other things like pay and stuff as well. There's a wider circle to it.
There is, absolutely. Hannah, thanks so much for coming on now. And just once more before we finish up, like you said, people out there looking for anyone maybe to help them with the behind the scenes or the kind of writing up or research or anything, you're doing the course and you've done all them things.
You know, even anyone looking for, you know, maybe to do like any sort of write up or packages or anything like that, you know, I'd be happy to research or help out where I can.
Absolutely. Thanks a million, Hannah, for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show and I appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thanks to Hannah for coming on tonight and sharing her own story about being born with cerebral palsy and the struggles and difficulties that she has faced over the course of her life and what she's doing now with the radio broadcasting course, which is brilliant for her to be getting out there and doing courses like that. It's great to get out, and it's something that she's obviously passionate about that you've heard her talking about on the show. So thanks a million to Hannah. If you have any suggestions, questions or requests before next week's show, you can get in contact with me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or my email address is ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a great week so far. Stay tuned in here to Radio Kerry because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next week from 8 to 9pm. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
You're listening to Standout with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8pm here on Radio Kerry.